it comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21. And Paul, as he concludes the deep love of God, the deep love of Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 3, he says this doxology. And doxology basically means a liturgical formula to praise God. And, you know, when you look at a doxology like verse 20 through 21, it's, you know, compacted theology of who God is, who Jesus is. And, you know, really, you know, it's a lot to unpack as it's unpacked throughout, you know, Ephesians, but into all of Scripture. And Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 is a very famous doxology, if you've been in the church world. It goes like this. Now to Him, to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but to Him, as we focus on Jesus, of how great He is, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generation, forever and ever. Amen. Let me read that again. Now to Him, Jesus, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generation, forever and ever. Amen. You know, spring is coming. I think next week is official spring. Right now we're in confusion because it was like 75 and now it's 30 degrees or something. And you know, for a lot of the college students, they're kind of at the mid-range. Some of the Drexel guys are finishing their finals. And, I think what I would like to do is really kind of focus on how great our God is, you know, as we look into spring and move into Easter. And I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things to be thankful for as we continue on in 2019. We had some really amazing retreats with our college students. Almost 250 of them went there. 150 of our young adults went to our young adult retreat. I think we'll be having our family retreat in the summer, and I'm sure about 100 of us will go. That's like almost like 80%, 90% attendance of those of us who are part of our church. And I think that's awesome. And we've had really powerful testimonies of how God was moving at these retreats. Many, I don't know if you know, at our church have come to know Jesus Christ, even through this fall season and winter season. I've already mentioned it a couple of times. There was a sister who's a Muslim, who actually came to know Christ. We're discipling her and helping her through the transition. It's really not easy for her, but you know, it's really exciting what God is doing, in our church. And, I'm not sure if we have the PowerPoint, but, you know, we finished paying for our ministry center. We kind of mentioned it, but I really want to kind of celebrate it. We bought this huge home, we actually had $300,000, that we had to pay, we wanted to pay off in 3 years. And many of you contributed here, alumni contributed. A lot of it came from the UC site, and in a little more than 3 years, but actually we could have done it in 3 years, but in a little more than 3 years, we finished paying for all of it. So we are debt free. Praise God. All right. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. Yeah, that ministry center is being used to house many young adult small groups. And, you know, by next year, it's going to actually be the site that, may be used to, plant a new church in our church. And I'll talk more about that as we head into, Easter. We're planning on possibly starting a new site, and that's going to be the home. And it's exciting that God has done that. You know, I really thank God in my personal life, that my youngest son, he got into college. Amen. He's going to college. Okay. He made it. And then my second son, my older son, he went through, the sophomore blues. You know, when you're a sophomore in college, you're supposed to go through the sophomore blues because you're not a freshman and you're headed to junior year and you still don't know what to do. You know, you're like, what's my major? What am I supposed to do? Some of you are junior and you're going through that. Some of you are senior and you're still there. Some of you graduated and you're in the blues. Well, he went through the blues and he came out and he's a lot more centered. Sometimes I feel like he's going to college to basically go to his campus Christian group, but it's okay. Because I'm a pastor. I love Jesus and he can do that. Amen. His biggest, you know, topic right now is should he join the exec team for his campus group? You know, part of me is like, shouldn't you study? But anyway, you know, God loves him and he can do what God wants him to do. Okay. My daughter finally, is adjusting to young adult life. Literally first 3 months, she was going up and down. And I really feel like one of the reasons she was going so up and down was because she can't take naps in the middle of the day, you know. Because in college, she can take a nap, you know, but now she can't take a nap, you know, those of us who work in the middle of the day. And so I think it just whacked her out emotionally, and she was going up and down. But, you know, just recently, I can see that she's finally able to not take a nap, you know, and function. I'm joking around, but I really praise God for so many great things that are happening in the church. And definitely in my life, I am a very blessed man. But as you know, this last 3 months has been a cloud over my head since my mom, you know, entered ER in December, at the end of December, and it's really reaching the third month. And, you know, I have to tell you, I've had so many different emotions in a day. It's kind of ridiculous. You know, sometimes I wake up thanking God. I really thank God for great friends, great church, great family, great life. I have a great life. Another thing I thank God is I just discovered kickboxing class. Oh man, I'm so happy just beating up that bag. You know, I think of it as Satan and other things that I'm frustrated with, and I'm not good, but I'm pretty good. You know, because I used to take karate and kung fu when I was younger, and so you know, I just go at this bag for 45 minutes, and I'm so intense. There's only about three of us, and I have a puddle of water, you know, right there, and I really thank God. But it's been a cloud over my head, and sometimes, you know, I wake up thanking God, and other times I, you know, find myself confused, angry, just crying. You know, I was actually driving here, I started crying, and I'm like, why am I crying? I'll share with you why I was crying. And it's been all over the place, but today what I want to do is, you know, I want us, and probably I'm preaching for me, all right, us to focus on really Jesus and how great he is. And how he's way bigger and greater than what we could ever imagine, no matter what we are going through or in part of. And here in this passage says this: now to him, Jesus, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. First thing that this doxology tries to unpack is that God, Jesus, is able, right? He's able. He really is able to sustain you through whatever you're going through. And here in this text, it's definitely talking about he's able to hear you as you ask and answer your prayer. I mean, the question that we need to ask is, who is your Jesus? Do you really believe in a God who is able to help you, to empower you, to encourage you, to help you through whatever that you're facing? You know, even if it takes you up and down crazy roller coasters in your life, that he's not helpless, he's not feeble, that he's not just out there stressed, you know, like we are. You know, and I sometimes joke around and give you this image. It's not like God looks at my life and he sees what's happening with my mom, and you know, and he's like, oh my gosh, you know, oh my me. You know, he can't say God, you know, oh my me, got it? Oh my me, all right? And then he goes, Holy Spirit, what should I do? And Holy Spirit's like, oh, I don't know. Jesus, what do you think? You know, they're not up there stressing out. I mean, God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is looking at it through perspectives that we cannot imagine. And he's looking at it saying, come to me because I am able, you know, to rescue you, even in the mouth of a lion. You know, Paul in 2 Timothy talks about how in chapter 5, where everybody abandoned him, he started to imagine the life of Daniel, and he says, I feel like I am in the mouth of the lion, and he said, God rescued me. And when you actually read 2 Timothy, the last chapter, you start realizing, you know, even though Paul said God rescued him, it wasn't a rescue of, you know, just kind of some kind of flowery, everything worked out well. No, there were people that hurt him. There were betrayals. There were abandonment. There were difficulties. But he found Jesus in that place. He found God in that place. He was able to rescue him. Where there is no way, God has a way, and he is able. You know, facing this situation with my mom, man, there's been points in my life I feel so alone. And I've shared something like this before. When you face real difficulties in your life, it's weird. Like, you know you need people, but you actually start isolating yourself because you want to be angry at some people. I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking to myself. Just follow with me. Some of you, I don't know what you're talking about, right? But it's weird. Like, you know you don't want to be lonely, but you actually drive yourself to loneliness because there's a part of you. You're like, you know what? No one can understand what the heck I'm going through. And actually, sometimes you don't really want people to understand because you're having a hard time and you want to be angry. And then so you actually get mad at people because they leave you alone. But then when they try to help you, you say you don't need help, you know, and then it's a weird psychological dilemma. Amen. You're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, just, it'll happen to you. Well, I've been really lonely at times. I have great friends. I have great family. I have great, you know, church, but sometimes I'm like, dang, I feel like I'm in the mouth of lion of loneliness. Guess what? Jesus is there. Mouth of lion of depression. Guess what? Jesus is there. This is a tough thing to do, and which is to analyze your prayer in real time. And you know, I've always said at our church that when we ask God, all right, when you and I ask God, you are a child of God, and you ask God in Jesus' name. I've always told you that at least in my life, and if you really understand, in your life, every prayer has been answered. God was able to answer every one of our prayers. And some of us don't believe it, but you know how I break this down. It really does happen, right? When we pray to God, he's able to answer. Okay. And first thing is he says yes, right? And we love that answer. Yes. You know, you're a college student. You like this girl and you're like, oh God, let me have this girl. And God says yes. And you're like, oh my God, God, you are powerful. You are able. Lord, you can do miracles. You can resurrect the dead. She likes me, you know. What can I do? And then the other answer is, Lord, I like this girl, you know, and they'll help her to say yes. And she says no. And then suddenly you're like, God, are you alive? You know, do you exist? You know, how could this be? I'm such a great guy. How could she say no? And, you know, you just go crazy over it. Or he says, wait. You know, and you're a senior. And you cradle rob. She's a freshman. You know. And God says, you know, you don't feel like it's a yes because she, you know, she's just a little weeny freshman. You know. And it is not a no, but you're a senior, second semester, and you know, like she says, wait, because her small group leader said, wait, or something like that. And he's like, I'm like, what? Wait, what do you mean wait? And then you read passages like, you know, a day is like 1,000 years to God. And you're like, God, I can't wait 1,000 years because I don't live 1,000 years. I'm going to graduate. I need a yes or no. And, you know, when I look, you know, into my prayer for my mom, I actually see that God is able. Let me just add a few other thoughts about prayer. Is it a yes or no, a wait? And there's a mystery in prayer, you know. If we think we can analyze prayer so easily, you're fooling yourself, right? There's a mystery in prayer and there's a presence in prayer. Sometimes it's not a yes or a no or even a wait. As you pray, you think you're asking for a yes, a no, or you want me to wait. What do you want me to do? But even in that mystery, his presence come. And his presence come and says, you know what? I'm able to be here with you. Even through this difficult moment, I'm able to be here with you. When my mom first went into the ER in December, I prayed, God, heal her. And, you know, I believe in healing. And I thought she could be healed. I said, Lord, please heal her. And first session there, I thought, man, you know what? She's going to get up. And she was weak. She was walking on a walker. I said, Lord, heal her. And actually, when we brought her to the rehab, it looked like she was able to actually stand. I'm like, this is exciting. We're going to, you know, she's going to come back and, you know, she'll be at least able to walk and function in a walker. And then when she went back in the ER the second time, it looked really bad. But then we put a, you know, feeding tube in her. And I'm like, wow. I started imagining God, you're going to heal her. You know, and you're like, what are you talking about? You know, she had a hard time eating, but now with the feeding tube, I started imagining you can start sticking everything in there, you know, like Ensure, maybe like 10 Ensure every hour. I don't know, you know, some other stuff in there, and then she can eat. And I started imagining a plump mom. Okay. Now you have to understand, my mom is like 90 pounds when she started this. And she's probably like 70 pounds right now. And I started imagining like 110 pound mom. You know, like she's going to eat and, you know, eat, you know, like Korean food and Ensure through her stomach and, you know, like other, you know, fatty cells or whatever. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the way you're going to heal. And I, you know, I don't know how your prayer works for you, but I was praying, Lord, heal her. And then when she went into the ER third time, you know, I said, Lord, either you heal her or you take her home. Like, I don't know. You know, either you heal her or take her home. And, you know, in that prayer, I see God, you know, in my prayer, I see God shifting, you know, Lord, heal. He said, no, I'm not healing her. And in a weird way, I feel like he's saying, you know, at this point, yes, it's time for your mom to go home. I think after a lot of talk with my siblings and my mom and you know, also my family, I think my mom probably has two to about a month to live. Of course, only God knows, but as best possible, that's going to happen. And, you know, I want to tell you, as I've been praying this prayer, it's amazing, more than the yes or the no, or I don't know what you're doing, God, that there are moments where I really feel the presence of the Father, especially in, you know, the darkest moments, that there is the presence of the Father. Our God is able to answer us and be there with us no matter what you are going through. Amen. Second, in this text it says this, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine. Now, I don't know about you, sometimes one of the things that we, if you're really honest, that you struggle with is, you know, is God able? And even as I shared how I process my little prayer walk, and it's really actually dangerous to process your prayer in real time, you know, because a lot of times prayer and how we, how God functions, you actually see a clearer picture of how that prayer impacted you and your world and life. And, you know, after you pass many days or even years, you start seeing, wow, God is able to, was able to do this. And so, you know, as I process it, not only the Bible here says, is he able to help you? Is he able to answer your prayer? It could be a yes, a no, wait, or a mystery. Or for me, one of the greatest able is he strengthens me with his presence. But here it says that he's able to do immeasurably more than what you ask or you can imagine. Now, you got to understand, I have good imagination. You know, I'm a very simple dude, but I have like wild imaginations. I imagine this sanctuary being filled, plant more churches. I imagine that, you know, I don't know, there's a lot of things I imagine. Some stuff is kind of weird, you know, superhero and stuff like that. I've always had a good imagination and I'm like, can God not only be able to help you, but he can do immeasurably more than what you could ever even think of? You know, and I think what this is really tapping into is the God that is answering us and walking with us, is he not just able to do what is able, but is he really more than that? He's actually more gracious than you ever thought. All right, that he's actually more wiser than you ever thought. That he's actually a God who's able to do immeasurably more than what you can imagine. And the problem, I think, with me as well as you is that, you know, many times we think that our imagination is the greatest imagination. But I really think what this text is saying, no. He's able to do immeasurably more than what we can ever imagine. And we have to imagine what God is imagining. Now, the other thing I just want to stop and say is this. When it says he's able to do, he's able to answer us, he's not saying he's able to answer all my wishes or all how I want it to turn out. All right? Or all, you know, God, you're able to do what I want you to do. All right? No, he's actually saying in this text, he's able to do Now he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout generation forever and ever. He's able to answer that will bring greatest glory to him. And, you know, a lot of times when we are living our lives so tunnel vision about what's going on in my life, and I can easily do that right now. What's going on in my life and my family and my mom? You know, we get so tunnel vision, we always think that he should be answering what we want him to do. Not for his glory, but for what will make me comfortable, what will make my life easier. And, you know, I really believe God understands that, but this text is not saying he's able to do what we command him to do. It's really saying he's able to do what will bring him greatest glory. And what we need to open our mind and our heart is, when God is glorified, greatest benefit comes to the world and even to us personally. To see that sometimes, it's not always easy to see when you are going through real time. And here in this text, he's able to do immeasurably more than what we could imagine. And I just want to just really challenge you. God is doing things in your prayer and in your life that you can't even imagine. Because most of us, including myself, we have a tunnel vision and we feel like if God would answer this, this, and this, then this, and this could happen and that's what should happen. And we live our life through our finite mind, even if you're bright and smart and awesome, you know, and even if you're a great planner, we live our life through our imagination and planning. And God has something far more than what you ever thought possible. And that's why sometimes when our imaginations don't work out, we crumble. We're like, oh my gosh, I thought this and this should fit and it should be like this. And how many times I do that? But God has this other imagination that is far greater than what we're thinking. I was talking with the Sunday school teacher. There were a lot of college guys there. And I said, do you guys know the movie It's a Wonderful Life? And they're like, what's that? I'm like, what? You never watched It's a Wonderful Life? That's sin, okay? Every Christmas we watch It's a Wonderful Life. If you never watched it, watch it, okay? You guys probably watch Marvel movies, right? All right? You watch It's a Wonderful Life. It's way better than, you know, Endgames, all right? It's way better than Endgames. We watch it all the time. And, you know, in that movie, there's a guy named George Bailey. I can't believe I have to explain this, okay? Before they used to know it. How many never watch It's a Wonderful Life? Raise your hand. All right, you have sinned. Okay. I'm kind of joking, okay? So there's a guy named George Bailey who had all this dream of, you know, traveling and doing all these great things. And, you know, he thought he was going to be a great guy. And he actually looked like he had the potential, but he ends up in his little town because, you know, his dad had the savings and loan. He ends up staying there forever. His brother becomes a war hero. His brother, I don't know, becomes a senator or something. I watched it like 10 times, but I don't remember all the movie, all right? And he ends up being what he felt like was a nobody. And then his uncle, who's very forgetful, loses a chunk of money, right? And that whole savings and loan that he just sweated over. He felt like he was dying, but he was keeping it alive out of responsibility, you know. And he was going to get bankrupt. He was going to possibly go to jail. And so, the story starts with him thinking that his life meant nothing. So he's going to jump off a bridge and die. And then an angel is sent to let him see that there is stuff happening that you cannot imagine, alright? Alright? I sold the movie to you guys, so go watch it, alright? And so what happens is, he realized, wow, if he didn't exist and do his little faithful thing, that whole town would have been so different, alright? Now, I just want to portray that, and I want to tell you this. Many of us, the Hollywood directed this, and they figured out that our lives, when we do good things and small things, and I think those days Hollywood was controlled more by Christian values than nowadays, that there is unimaginable good that we do, right? What would Jesus directing our life be able to do? See, a lot of times in our life, we have this tunnel vision, and we say, if this and this, if I get the grades, and if I get that job with that salary, if I get married here, and if I do this, then my life is doing unimaginably great things for God. You know? If I'm a little better than that guy, if I'm a little better than that girl, and if I do this and this, and make this money and live at this zip code, then I'm really making an impact for God. And what we don't imagine is that God has a whole different story of your small faithfulness that He's doing that you cannot imagine. I've seen it so many times in real life. For example, there's a brother named Dan Amarsaka who was part of our church the first 3 years. And he was, his dad was literally, he's from Sri Lanka, and his dad was pretty high up there politically, meeting with the president and stuff. And he was part of our church and small group leader. He ended up being staff. He graduated Yale, came to Penn to do architecture. And he was working at one of the top firms in Philadelphia. But after a while, he decided to join staff for a different reason. And he was an excellent staff. I mean, you know, he just, even before I thought, he did. That's a good staff. I did it, Pastor Young. I did it. Oh, you know, I was like, whoa, this guy's awesome. He's very capable. And one day, he just went home to Sri Lanka for Thanksgiving break. And when he was coming back, this is after 9/11, they said he can't come back because something went wrong with his visa. And we're like, what? Like, I mean, he was like a pretty integral part of our staff. And I had big vision for him. He could have been your site pastor. Just imagining, right? And all this stuff. And, you know, in my little world, like, God ruined my life. Okay, like, why did you do that? I mean, I got along with this guy. It went well. And it's like, freak, like, he can't come in. I'm like, well, is there a way you can come? He's like, no, I'm blacklisted for 5 years. It's like, what? What's going on? And, you know, he's pretty high up there, his dad, and they're working stuff, and they just said no, and he stuck out there. And in my imagination, that's not able. Amen? God is not able. What are you doing? No, Lord, use the immigration, bring them in. It doesn't work. Nothing happens. But guess what? God has His own imagination. He gets married. He has two wonderful kids. He's super rich. And he loves God. And he's preaching and leading as a layperson in a church that fills thousands of seats in Sri Lanka. He's taking out people to mission field into the interiors of Sri Lanka, which is like another world than where he lives. And he's serving God so much more powerfully than if he had been under me, you know, and done what he could, you know, here. God does things that you can't imagine. I was telling the children's, volunteers, some of them are college guys. You know, I'm sure most of them, if I know college and young adults and married couple, they're volunteering and in their life, they have all these things that they want God to do. You know, I want God to be able to give me good grades this semester and give me that boyfriend or that girlfriend, get that job, you know, and that's just really what we think. And that's what we're praying. Most of us, that's our circle of prayer, right? And I don't think God sits there going like, oh my gosh. I think He says, oh, you little child. When will we grow up? But here is God doing unimaginable things, and that is they go to Sunday school. They're teaching these kids. One of our little kids, finally, after they hear the gospel like 10 times in different ways, I'm sure Chena preaches it, Aaron preaches it, other teachers have preached it. Finally, today is the day it sinks in. And they say, I think I want to know Jesus. And they come to know Christ. And they grow up. And they become a godly man, a godly woman. And they raise a family in a godly way. And out of that family, they raised a child that ends up being a missionary. I always use this illustration. To a Muslim village that brings that whole Muslim village to Christ, or a lot majority of them. Now, this college guy, his imagination is, man, God's able if He gets me the job, if He gets me married, if He puts me in high status, my kids do well. Oh, God is able and immeasurably more powerful if He does all that for me. What he doesn't see is His greatest contribution was trying to be faithful at a Sunday volunteer, helping a child come to know Jesus, and that child growing up to come to know his family in Christ, and that family, a child, coming and going into the ends of the earth. That's his greatest contribution. And one day, when you get to heaven, you're going to realize, oh my gosh, I've been analyzing my life and what God does through this thing, my tunnel vision, when actually small acts of faithfulness, humbleness, declaring his greatness, little things that you never even thought, God took it and did unimaginable stuff. And I'm going to tell us, including myself, we're going to get to heaven, and the things we thought we did for God, it was good. God's going to say, good. But the things that we never knew, unimaginably, when we were faithful and kind, we're going to find out the mysteries of God that he is able to do. And if that wasn't happening, okay, if only thing that was happening is our prayer life and our unimaginable, our imaginational prayer life, this world would be even in a greater mess. But he is able to do immeasurably more than what we can imagine. He can do what he imagines. Are you with me here? All right. Do not underestimate what God is doing when we are faithfully, humbly serving him. You know, including myself, I'm too full of myself. You know, it's all about me. And I have a tremendous danger with this because I get to stand up here and keep talking about that. But God is way greater than you and I. He's a great God, able to do immeasurably more than what we can imagine. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us. You know, as I was driving down, I was thinking about our church, and it's interesting. You know, we had a January retreat, and we had a March retreat. And you generally have to ask the speakers to come, months ahead, sometimes a year ahead. January retreat, Pastor Sam came for our college retreat, and then March retreat, Pastor Steve came. And I was just thinking about it, you know, when I invited them, I did not know that my mom was going to go through this. But somehow, I mean, I have a lot of friends, amen? People love me. You know, but they are really my best friends. And, you know, I was thinking, like, when I invited them, I wasn't imagining that I was going to go through this. And not only were they sent by God to bless our church and comfort our church, you know, God knew that they would come and bless me and encourage me. I didn't imagine it. I just invited them. Because other guys said no. And they were my friends, and they're like, I can't say no to you, man. All right, I'll do it. You know, I was thinking, I go, wow. And I want to tell you, there's way more that stuff happening in your life than you think. Half the time we think he's not able and he's not doing a measure more because you, like me, have a tunnel vision, and we want God to do able things that we have planned. And our imagination, we want God to fulfill our imagination. No, God says, I'm going to do it for my glory. Many times, I'm going to do stuff for you that you ask. But he's able to measure more than what you ask or can imagine. Then it says, according to his power that is at work within us. There is an incredible power in us, and it is not us. It's not how hard we try. It's not how religious you are. It's not how long you can fast. All right? Jesus lives in us. God died for us. There is an incredible power that lives in you because you are the temple of God. And it's easy for me to say than for you to live through it. But I want to tell you, the great God lives in you. And He is able to do immeasurably more than what you could ever imagine. And as you know in the Scriptures, it's when we are weak, we are actually the strongest. Instead of our weakness taking us into dark places of loneliness and depression and discouragement, in that place when we find, oh my gosh, Jesus really lives in me. He really is active in me. He really can help me to pass through these moments. You realize how powerful you are. Brothers and sisters, you and I were left here on earth to do powerful things for Christ. And when I say that, you know, we're thinking, I don't know, like, you know, a lot of times as a pastor, you're thinking big church, many church plants. Yeah, that's powerful. But it's more than that. You know, I feel like maybe one of the more I get, I'm getting older, I think one of the most powerful things I can do for you and for me is to live faithfully through the thick and the thin and declare that our God is a great God and a good God. You pray for me. I don't know how big our church is going to get. I don't know how many more church plants we're going to do. We're going to attempt to get bigger and do more church plants. But you pray that when it's time for me to go home and follow my mom, that I show people that Jesus changed sinners. And that He's faithful until the end. I want to tell you, practically this passage, this doxology makes sense. Because a lot of times He's able to answer our prayers. But He's way more than able to answer our prayers. He's able to bring glory to Himself through our prayers. Oh Lord my God, when I see Your awesome wonder, consider all the worlds Thy hands have made. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. Our God is an awesome God who is able to do immeasurably more than what we can ask or imagine. And His power works powerfully within us. You know, it's interesting with my mom. She's really in her last days. And it's weird, you know, after we decided that that's the role that we're going to go through, something in my mind, in my heart was lifted. I don't know, later on maybe I'll feel different things, but right now actually I feel tremendous peace. And my brother was not a Christian, you know, we were doing FaceTime, and he asked my mom, he said, Mom, are you like stressed? Are you worried? And she's like, no, I just want to go home, you know. I just want to go home. And, you know, I was praying that my mom could be healed, and she's not. And in my mind, I'm like, God, you know, that would have been a great miracle, but the greatest miracle I realize is that God brought my family from Korea to America, and He rescued me and my sister, and somehow this gospel took hold of my mom, who was a very secular, stubborn Asian woman who, man, she's really stubborn and she's really strong. But God brought new life into her soul. So now, as she faces death, she can go home and she could receive the imperishable body. She could experience the mansion of God. And I'm just praying that she could enter into that place with the peace of God. You know, our God is answering our prayers way more than you and I could ever imagine. And I hope that God would open our hearts and our minds to see this great God who is able to do immeasurably more than what we can ask or imagine. Amen? All right, let's pray. Why don't we stand?